Hello, Experience Industry Management family, and welcome to the Experience Our Industry podcast. We're very excited to be launching the podcast today. I want to tell you a little bit about how the podcast came to be, first off, and then we'll get into our first featured guest that we're going to have. So those of you who have taken my sport management classes, you know that I developed a podcast for my intro to sport management course. And it was a podcast where I went out and I talked to people who had been in, who had actually sat in the seats in RPTA 160. And students gave me really good feedback on hearing from those alumni and being able to picture themselves in those sorts of positions and roles. And so I got the idea. Hey, what about expanding it to the larger major to the department? And I reached out to Dr. Hendricks, and Dr. Hendricks, as he has been throughout my career here at Cal Poly, was incredibly supportive and said, "Yeah, absolutely, go and do it. Yeah, do it." So I recruited a student in true learn by doing fashion. I reached out to one of my former students, Holly Benson, and Holly is sitting here today. She's a second year student in our major. Say hi, Holly.
Hey.
Hey. So Holly is working behind the scenes to help me with podcasts. You know, it's not only Holly in Learn by Doing Fashion, it's me as well, right? So I'm learning as I go. So I hope you'll bear with us through the growing pains and the early going. But we're really excited about this podcast. We're really excited about reaching out to our partners, our friends, our alumni in the experience industry, and ultimately getting at the breadth and the depth of what the experience industry is all about. Our target market is we want alumni, we want current students, we want prospective students, we want partners, we want family, friends, to hear about what we're doing. And so we would really appreciate the support. We would really appreciate you clicking like on iTunes and sharing it on LinkedIn, sharing it on your social media networks to help us out. Help us help you, so to speak. Our release schedule is going to be every other week, so it'll be a bi-weekly podcast for now. We'll see how it goes. We already have 6 podcasts taped, so we're very excited about that, and we're very excited about bringing you this very first podcast. And so I want to introduce to you Haley Balwashi, who is the Senior Program Manager for Global Events at Uber. Haley is a 2015 graduate of our program. We're gonna mainly feature alumni. We don't want to limit it to just alumni. We're also going to introduce you to some of our advisory council members, maybe some other partners. It's going to mainly be alumni, and we're very excited about our first 10 that we have. Out of the first 10, 9 out of the first 10 are alumni, and Haley's the first one. So we hope you enjoy this inaugural podcast with Haley. You'll hear all about her career and how she got to her current position. And we hope you'll engage with the rest of the podcast as we move forward. Thanks so much. All right. I'm really excited to be here today with Haley Balwashi. Haley, how are you doing? Did I get it right?
You got it right. You got awesome. It right.
Awesome. So Haley, when she was here at Cal Poly, she taught me how to say her last name. She has a really unique last name that I love and I've never seen before. And somehow I remembered how to pronounce it. Haley, you know, one of the things since you've left that we don't get anymore that's kind of disappointing is I don't get to read off the names at graduation anymore.
What?
Yeah, so it's hard for me. I don't actually, I don't know how to pronounce most of my students' last names, you know? I mean, unless it's like Smith or Jones.
No, that was like a key part of my graduation. I remember my parents coming up to me afterwards and being like, "Wow, the guy who read your name, man, he really took it off. It was great."
Yeah, well, you know, the funny thing is that Cal Poly has upstaged me. They have this guy
who they now read the names at the big graduations. And they have this guy who's like super professional, and he reads it like, Haley Balwashi. It's like very deep, like authoritative voice, you know. Everyone loves it. And I'm like, but what about little old me, you know?
Oh, no. They'll ask you back. Okay. They'll realize they had the best one at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of crazy. So Haley is a Cal Poly graduate in 2015 from our major. Mm-hmm. And Haley is currently working as a senior program manager for global events at Uber. Mm-hmm. So we're very excited to hear all about that, Haley. But we're going to back up a little bit if you're okay with that.
I'm good with that.
All right, awesome. So I want to start with, where are you from?
I am from this little town called Orange County in Southern California.
Oh, that is a very small town, right?
Yeah, very small town. Most people haven't heard of it.
No.
I grew up in the city of Orange, so I always have to say that. City of Orange in Orange, California, Orange County, California.
Wow, you had the double whammy, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Orange and Orange County. Mm-hmm. Tell me what it was like. Tell me what it was like growing up in Orange County. You know, I hear we have so many students from Orange County, and one of the things that I think is really cool about this podcast is for me to get to hear what it was like. You know, we don't dive into that too much in classes and whatnot, and obviously we get pieces here and there, but what was it like? I don't know anything about Orange County, really.
You know, I always like to say, I think it was like what most people think it's like. Okay. You know, we would go to the beach on the weekends. We were very big in, you know, high school dances and going all out for those sorts of things. It was very big in, you know, enjoying the outdoor weather. My high school, my middle school, and my elementary school were all outside. We didn't worry about rain. If it was raining, everybody was like, oh my gosh, snow day, rain day.
Nice.
That sort of thing. So it was much like what you probably imagine Orange County being like.
No wonder Orange County kids can't pay attention in class. I'm just kidding.
100% true. 100% true.
No, but now, I mean, I've never actually noticed that. I have no idea who's from Orange County in my classes, but I imagine that's kind of difficult if most of the time you're outside growing up and then you have to go and sit in the boring old classrooms, you know?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. So what did your parents do growing up?
My mom was a stay-at-home mom, which was wonderful. She was, you know, the lady who woke you up in the mornings, packed your breakfast, packed your snack, packed your lunch, packed your after-lunch snack, got the dinner ready. She was a gem. God, that sounds like a tough job. Even working in the field now and imagining being a stay-at-home mom, I don't know how she did it.
Yeah, I know all about that. My mom was a stay-at-home mom also, and I look at it. I'm like, now that I'm a dad, I'm like, that had to be the most difficult job ever.
Yeah, I'm thinking in my life when I eventually have kids, I'm like, I'm gonna drop them off at a daycare, and I'm gonna go to my job, and I'm gonna pick them back up.
Yeah.
And then my dad worked for Sony Engineering, which was actually down in San Diego. So he used to commute down to San Diego every day, or he'd leave on Mondays, come back on Fridays.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool. What about siblings? Do you have any siblings when you're growing up?
I do. I have two older sisters, so I am the baby. They were fun. We're all pretty close. We're about 5 years total in age difference. So the oldest one is 5 years older than me, and then the next one down is 3 years older than me.
Oh, cool. What are they up to now?
Yeah, so my oldest sister, Samantha, she is an assistant principal over in a high school in the North Bay. My middle sister is an executive assistant for a venture capitalist firm in San Francisco.
Oh, awesome. So Samantha keeps you guys in order when you guys get together?
Yep, Samantha keeps us in order. Courtney's the classic middle child. We all followed each other. We all went to Cal Poly, and then we all went to San Francisco. So we're very close, very, awesome. Very close.
Love that. I love hearing that. That makes my heart smile. So I love that. Tell me what you were like as a kid. Did you play sports? Were you into drama? What were you into?
Yeah, I was very involved as a kid. I was into dance. So I had been dancing since I was three. I just kept it up. So I was always on the dance team, always doing all sorts of dance things. I continued it through college. And then trying to get involved in a lot of other things. I always remember myself being super busy. I would take, you know, like in high school, I had zero period and then first, second, third, then I'd have my dance stuff. And then I'd go to like after school activities and those sorts of things. I just remember being a busy, kind of like a busy bee all the time.
That's, Awesome. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. So, you know, every kid growing up seems like had that dream job that they thought about. Did you have that?
I think my dream job was actually to be a dance teacher.
I was going to say, I bet yeah. it was. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause I actually even applied to some colleges for dance major. Mm-hmm. And I think I still had it in me for a little bit, even when I was, you know, 17, 18, thinking about the real big next step. I think that childhood dream was still kind of inkling in the back of my mind of being a dance right. teacher.
Right. Do you mm-hmm. still get to dance on the side now?
I try to kind of dance on the side a little bit, but it's usually, you know, me like at the gym, I'll put like some headphones in and go find like a corner and maybe like bust some moves. And
nice. Nice. I love it. I love it. That's really cool. So let's transition to those formative years, the college mm-hmm. years. What you said so both of your sisters preceded you at Cal Poly. So obviously you had a connection to Cal Poly there, right?
Yep. Yes, that's how I heard of Cal Poly, and I used to come visit them all the time. So I loved Cal Poly just by association of that.
Got you. How about hearing about the major? How did you hear about the major?
The major was something I found on my own. So I was a lot like, I was like, I love San Luis Obispo. I got to go to Cal Poly. I had been applying. I wanted to stay in California. That was kind of my goal. So I kept all of my schools in California, and I did a mix of either dance major or what was considered more of a hospitality major. Mm-hmm. In my high school years, I worked as basically like an event coordinator for a venue. So I got to see, you know, like all different types of events from funerals to weddings, to corporate events and those sorts of things. And I met a lot of meeting planners. And I remember being like, those people are pretty cool. Like, it seems like they have a pretty cool gig. Nice. So I started to try and look for things specifically like that. And very interestingly enough, I wanted to go Cal Poly, and then I found Parks and Rec as the major, and the two meshed really well together. I was like, Cal Poly is my favorite place ever, and I'm really into this idea of event management and that sort of thing. So that's kind of how I found both of them. So I was actually quite proud of myself. That was my own research.
I'm very proud of you as well, and that relates to this next question. You know, so parents sometimes wonder about our major if they're not familiar with it. But I would assume since you had done your own research and they knew you had some experience there, were they supportive or?
My mom was 100% on board. My mom was like, yes, this sounds like a great idea. I love it. My dad took a long time to figure out what the heck I was doing at college. I wouldn't say he wasn't unsupportive. He was glad I was going to college. I think he just didn't really understand what I was going to college for. Right. And that actually happened for a long time continuing after. It wasn't until maybe about a year ago that I think he really understands what I do.
He's like, oh, you really have a career. With
you really do have a job. Oh, you really do make some money. Okay, great. Uh-huh, that's good. Uh-huh. You know, he was an engineer. So he wanted his children to go to school for math and engineering. And that was like the only two majors you could have. So he had a little trouble with mine.
I was going to say, sounds like one of those old school engineers that like, that sounds mm-hmm. familiar. So tell me about your time here at Cal Poly. I want to start big with this one, right? So I like asking this question of everyone. What's your biggest memory? What's that takeaway experience that you think about when you think about your time here at Cal Poly?
Yeah, I think it actually has to do with the extracurricular activities I did, which was I joined a dance team that was not affiliated with Cal Poly, but was a bunch of Cal Poly students were involved in it. And I started it, I think it was like my second day of freshman year, and I went all the way through to the senior year.
Nice.
And my big moments were always our like spring shows. Those were always the best time at Cal Poly. I remember after I graduated that spring after, I was like, uh-huh. Oh, I want to go back to school. This was the funnest time. We got to choreograph all of our own pieces, and we'd have this big party afterwards, and it was so fun.
Yeah.
So finding that dance community for me was probably my biggest, most memorable experience and really shaped the rest of my time at Cal Poly.
Right. You had your crew, and you guys were there for each other. I love that. That's really cool. So kind of piggybacking on that, what else besides dance? Like what else did you do to kind of build your experience while you were at Cal Poly?
Yeah. So I kind of like how I was in high school, I tried to get really involved. I actually went to SOAR. I think it was called, is it still called SOAR before you come to, it's like the beginning orientation before you actually come on campus.
I don't think they call it SOAR anymore, but I do remember that it was SOAR. I think it's called like Slow Days now, and then of course WOW.
Okay. You know, yeah. So it was pre-WOW, and I got to meet with a bunch of gals and guys who were part of the Parks and Rec major. Mm-hmm. And when we met, we all loved each other and it was really fun. And we all kept in touch building up to our first day freshman year. And then we were just great. We all kind of ended up getting in the same dorm, in the same tower, and we all kind of cheered each other on. We were all kind of different parts of Parks and Rec. We had sports management. We had event management. What were the other? We had the hospitality and tourism. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's we had right. a couple of parks. Yep. And we all were a little bit different. And so we all kind of forced each other to get involved in different types of classes.
Cool.
And I'm actually still to this day best friends with all the six people I met at SOAR. And that,
that
kind of shaped a big part of my college experience. I think had I not met those people and they forced me to get involved in things that I maybe wouldn't have on my own, totally changed the game for me.
Got you. That is really cool. Mm-hmm. So, hey, when I look at your resume, I'm not 100% sure which one was your official internship, whether it was mm-hmm. Samantha Smith or Martin Resorts.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us that. Can you tell us which one was your official one? Or
Martin Resorts was my official internship.
Okay, yeah. That's what I was thinking. So that's what I was thinking. Did you get that through the connection with Samantha Smith, or was that the other way around?
I actually got the Martin Resorts internship through, like, Dr. Hendricks helped me kind of find that one.
Okay.
He linked me up with a gal who worked at Martin Resorts, who had been in Parks and Rec a couple years ahead of me.
Right.
So that's how I got that one. And I actually got the SSP, Samantha Smith Productions internship, the year prior. It was my junior year summer. I wanted to go move away from San Luis Obispo and try something out. And so I moved to San Francisco, and Dr. Hendricks actually helped me out with that one, too. He got me involved with Samantha Smith Productions, which was pretty cool. So I got two, but Martin Resorts was my official one. Yeah.
Very cool. What were those experiences like, both of those?
They were totally different and super, they were both really great. Samantha Smith Productions is a boutique event agency, yeah. Really small company, about 8 to 10 people in San Francisco. And they planned large scale conferences for like different companies, Blue Shield Healthcare of California, DSW, Nest, you name it. There's a big load of companies under their belt.
Okay.
And Martin Resorts was actually the most corporate job I've ever had. And it was morely focused on marketing. It was less focused mm-hmm. on event management. And I remember right. specifically wanting to do that because I had noticed that marketing kind of plays a pretty good big part in event management, that marketing and communication piece.
Yeah,
so they were totally different in good ways. Both really great.
So you feel, I bet that really strengthened your skills moving into Uber, because after you went back to Samantha Smith, right? Mm-hmm. After your internship.
Yep.
And you were there for a year. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So after my internship at Samantha Smith Productions in junior year of college, so I came back to school. They actually handed me an offer letter as I left that internship to go into my senior year. And I didn't sign it initially because I was like, I don't know, like this was the best job of my life, but maybe I should keep my options open. Do I want to move to San Francisco? And so I kept that offer letter on the table for quite some time, and they were a great company that like, let me just do that. That's not something that happens in the world, I learned.
Right.
So I took my first quarter at senior year. And then I was like, you know what? I want to do this. I want to go to San Francisco. I want to go to SSP. I'm so excited about it. So I signed that offer letter. So I had my job ready before I graduated. But then going to Martin Resorts, I was like, you know what? I want to do something completely different than SSP for my internship as my last kind of like job before my real job. So that's
right.
what kind of took me into Martin Resorts. And I loved it. It was so fun working hotel industry. Really good experience. I got to do, you know, like the websites, social media platform. I did events, built all their marketing tools. So like for their weddings, I would, you know, build all the pamphlets that they would have sitting on the check-in desks and those sorts of things. And that was amazing. Yeah. And all of that has totally translated actually now to my new job. And then when I went back to SSP, I felt really great, like really ready to kind of take on my own clients. So I was super excited to get in there, and I actually started as a project manager at Samantha Smith Productions, which was amazing, where I just kind of got to run my own clients and basically got handed Blue Shield Healthcare of California was my first client and got handed all of their events for the year. And I felt so prepared. I was ready. I was almost maybe a little too confident.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Wow. So when you think about your accomplishments in those two workplace environments, you know, both Samantha Smith and Martin Resorts, what would you say is your proudest achievement from those?
Ooh, my proudest achievement. I think for Samantha Smith Productions, Nest, this little company called Nest, that's part of Google. They grew so quickly, so fast, that they didn't really have time during their growth to think about their mission, their vision, what they wanted to do, how they wanted their employees to feel when they were at work. So they hired Samantha Smith Productions to kind of do a reset event, which they call their Mission Day event. And that was everybody who worked at Nest. We surprised them one Thursday at work with this huge event that we took over their entire campus. Their campus is in Mountain View, and they have a huge office space. And gave them a new mission statement and made that mission statement come to life. We did it with social media. We did it with music. We did it with food and beverage. We hired this band called The Bleachers, who I didn't even know who they were until we hired them. And now I found out they're like kind of cool, big band. And that was one of those events where I walked away that day, and it was the longest day of my life. I think I didn't sleep for 48 hours.
Right.
My feet were hurting. I had to drive back into San Francisco during rush hour. And I was like, that was so cool. Nice. I wish I knew that was coming. Like that was a peak for me at SSB for sure.
Very cool. Well, you know, I think that's Haley, I think that's a really good segue because, you know, you went into the job, you then took a job in October 2016 with Uber, mm-hmm. and you were focused on workplace mm-hmm. and on the work environment and those mm-hmm. experiences. Did that kind of build out of that Nest?
Totally.
Awesome.
Totally. So there was a couple things I realized in my first year graduating college and kind of taking my first job. The first thing was Samantha Smith Productions was an amazing opportunity because they were such a small company that I got to do things that people work years to do. They threw you in and got you involved. And I'm a big, you learn by doing. I take that model with me from awesome. Cal Poly.
Awesome.
And I loved that about it. But there was a couple things that I wanted to change. One was it was a very small company. So I would walk into work every day and there was about 8 to 10 people. And I was like, you know, I was like, I'm young. There's a lot of cool tech companies out there. I had seen Nest then. So I was like, I kind of want to work for a little bit of a larger company, kind of meet some more people. And then two, I really wanted to be on the internal side of event planning. So at SSP, I had gotten so much great experience, but I was always on the external side. And as an external event planner, you get told all the details, but you do get left out a few key details because you're not a full-time employee for that company.
Right.
And I really believe that I could only plan the most successful events if I was a part of that company, a part of that company culture.
Right.
So that's when I started to look at bigger companies in the Bay Area that were looking for event coordinators, event managers, and those sorts of things. And that's how I found Uber. So that's kind of what got me over there.
Got you.
Exciting.
Got you. I love your current the title of your current position, but then you know your first position, Global Program Coordinator, Workplace and Facilities. You know, I've never heard of that.
I know. Titles, man.
Yeah, I love it all the same. Tell us about that experience. I mean, it seems like it seems like coming in and having as a young professional running something like it seems like you were given a lot of responsibility right from the jump. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I started at Uber as this global program coordinator for the workplace and facilities team, which I swear I didn't even know what that meant when I read the job title. I didn't even know it would fall under something I would probably be qualified to do.
Right.
Little did I know it totally was. So the workplace and facilities team are big teams that run in any, they're at the core of any company. They're the company or they're the team that finds office space, builds out that office space, and then essentially runs and operates that office space.
Yeah.
So I got to come into that team, and what had happened is they had had a huge transition. Uber has grown so much from when they started 8 years ago. And the workplace and facilities team had seen that they had a lot of people in all of these sporadic different offices across the globe who were kind of siloed. And so they needed someone to come in and really focus on who's on the team was basically the VP's vision. He's like, I don't even know who's on my team anymore because there's people who are over in Manila. There are people in Sao Paulo. There are people in Amsterdam and, you know, plenty of other places. And he's like, I don't even know their names. I don't even have an org chart of who those people are. I need someone to come in and really focus on building a company, a workplace and facilities culture.
Right.
So that's kind of what I did for my first year. I planned a handful of different events across the globe to kind of get people to get to know each other. I did a little bit of human resourcey type stuff where I was building org charts, helping with team all hands content and those sorts of things, which was amazing. I got to learn so much about the workplace and facilities team. And little right. did I know, it was a team that all event managers should totally be a part of. They would help you out so much when it comes to planning events in an office space. So I got to learn about, you know, what the architects were doing when they were building out construction, what the environmental health and safety team were doing when it comes to emergency preparedness in an office space. You know, there's also like a design team who get to pick all the furniture and what that looks like and how it fits with the brand, you know, things that I was like, didn't even know existed. So that was amazing. That was an amazing first year. It really just kind of dived in there and got to learn a lot about that team in particular, which was really cool.
Very cool. And you must have proved yourself because the first, after 2 years, you got a promotion, right?
Year and a half, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. tell us about that and what that was like.
Yeah. So that promotion came from, basically I had learned a lot about workplace and facilities in general. And the largest office space at Uber is our San Francisco office space because it's our headquarters. There's roughly about 5,000 to 6,000 people who sit in San Francisco. Uber as a company is about 20,000 people, maybe a little bit more now, across the globe. And what they were noticing is events were always happening at HQ, but no one was really managing how the events were happening. Right. No one really concerned with risk management, with safety, with just honestly, like, where was the event even going on? How was food and beverage getting on campus? Right. Those sorts of things. How are people paying for it? So it was kind of like this whirlwind of just events were happening. And we, the facilities team, because we are the people who keep the lights on, who keep the AC going, who make sure the room is cleaned at the end of the night, we're getting calls in the middle of the night like, hey, there's stuff going on. Or we would get, you know, a call from an executive assistant who's like, hey, I need a room really quick to do this big, huge event for this big, huge, you know, senior person. I kind of started to recognize that, and I started to see that, and I was like, I want to get back into more like the event management type thing. I was doing a little bit of event management, but a lot more like team building and company culture and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I kind of saw the opportunity on my own, and I pitched my job.
Nice. I love that.
My job. Yeah.
Love that.
I said, you need someone in San Francisco to lead an event program, which is what is totally different about my job than I think what normal event management is. I had event managers in that job who were doing more of the day-to-day coordination, building the booking process, actually working on the booking process, setting up the rooms, getting all of the food and beverage all ready. And I was kind of building the program. So how do event organizers reach out to the workplace and facilities team to organize an event? Who are our partners, AV, right. IT, security, and those sorts of things? And how do we build a program that's cohesive between all of them?
Right.
So my second part of my job was at San Francisco, or as the, I think, what was my title then? Program manager, internal events HQ or something, right?
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. God, I know. The title's still to this day. I'm just like, they don't really tell you anything.
Well, you know, I want to interject, you know, I just love that because, I think you were here when we were, transitioning to the best practices analysis for senior project and, you know, really trying to get students to think, in an analytical way towards organizations and their practices. And so I just love hearing that you saw a problem, you saw an issue and you said, hey, I'm going to pitch my actual job that they ended up creating for you. I mean, that's
100%.
That's just such a great testament to learn by doing, and I'm super super excited to hear that. So yeah. now that we're at your current position, right, senior mm-hmm. program manager for global events.
Yep.
Tell us what's the day to day like?
Yeah. So that promotion happened about 4 months ago, I think.
Right.
And that was another one of those jobs that I didn't necessarily pitch it as much. My program ended up being a huge success in San Francisco. And the senior leadership on the workplace and facilities team kind of started to see that need in a lot of our larger offices across the globe, mm-hmm. Event management, event process and procedure. And they looked at me and were like, hey, Haley, do you think you could kind of start thinking about this across the globe? And I looked at them and I was like, you think I can? Absolutely. Like, yes. You know, then that's what was always my thing. I never felt like I was 100% qualified for all of the jobs that I got, but I always went in them with a whole heart. Like, right. Yes, I will do it. I will work. I will figure it out. I don't know what my job is, but I'll figure it out. So that's kind of what's happening to me right now is I'm figuring it out. I'm figuring out what I'm doing. I just recently figured out where all the offices are in our APAC region.
Nice.
And I'm currently launching a program that mimics the program in San Francisco across all of APAC region. And that's my first region that I'll take on. And they'll have an event program with event managers in their sites. And then I'll start to move on to LATAM, to the United States and Canada, into EMEA. And then hopefully we can see, you know, event program that's kind of like my little baby just around Uber everywhere. That's the goal, but I'm not at all there yet. I'm still kind of like learning what the heck is going on across the world in Uber. Not all offices are the same and not all cultures are the same. So that's a whole other thing.
Of course, of course. Mm-hmm. Well, you have an international perspective. So I think that'll serve you well also. So that's really cool. So when you think about the future, what do you see as the most pressing problem or issue facing corporate event planning?
I think even to this day, it's still something that people don't take seriously or don't think of right at the top of their head as like a problem that they need to solve or an opportunity that they can, you know, build a solution for. It's definitely something that I have to every day fight for, like my seat at the table when it comes to process and procedure and how I can build something that I think will make an impact. It's not, at least for me, it has never been something that people just immediately know. Like, oh yeah, events, Haley, we'll have her sit here. I always have to fight to sit there. I listen very hard when we have company or we have team meetings. We have, you know, sites that are launching and those sorts of things. I fight to get my seat at the table to say, hey, you're having a site launch. My team should be a part of that launch because we want to build an event program, which means I need to build an event space. So before you're building out the space, can you tell me, have you put an event space in there? Those sorts of things.
Right.
And they still, I think the biggest problem is it's still just not something that's at the forefront of any company's thought process when they're trying to build the successful whatever it is.
Yeah, you know, of course.
Mission is. So that's what I think is still the biggest issue today.
Okay.
In this field.
Well, I love that. That's a great answer. I think that'll give students and young professionals and all of us who are interested in special events some good perspective there. For those who are interested in a career in corporate event planning, whether a young professional or a current or prospective student, what advice would you give them?
Oh God. Okay. My advice would be nobody is more concerned with your career than you. You could have the best managers, and I have had the best managers, but they're not thinking of you as much as you're thinking of you.
Right.
So I have never had a job where my career path was completely defined for me. Like I never got hired and they said, hey, Haley, this is step one. And then this is step two. And then this is step three.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen that. And I don't think I ever will really. It's really on you to figure out what's step one, what's step two, and to take the opportunities. And that's something that I think you can learn at Cal Poly 100% because there is a million opportunities you can start to take mm-hmm. and see and taking that with you as you build your career, because there's no one who is going to think more about you than you.
Right.
And that's what I would take. That's my advice. Hopefully that's good.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for taking the time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. You know, we've gotten such a great response from people who we've invited, and it's just such a testament to the type of people that we get coming through here with our program in Cal Poly. And just want to wish you all the continued success as you move along, and please stay in touch and keep posted on what's going on.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Thank you. This was the highlight of my day. This is so great. It's so great to kind of take a memory lane down back through college. Cal Poly really made all the difference. And I know it's different now. It's not called Parks and Rec anymore. But
right.
No, I totally attest to how involved the professors were and Dr. Hendricks and everyone to building my career and making me the person that I was today. So I can't thank you guys enough. And for everybody who's listening, really take advantage because you can totally build your career and make you something that you didn't even think you were going to be.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you.